Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast on this 1st of October 2018. I'm your host, Surreal Gerald Quinn, talking about the world of sports and pop culture. As always, you can follow me on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to my Instagram account at Riddle Gerald Quinn. Right now, Dodgers are in control. 5-0 over the Rockies, top of the 7th inning, couple of outs. Earlier today, you had the Brewers taking out the Cubs 3-1. So this means that the Cubs will host the loser of this game in the wild card game. So that means that whoever advances from today is going to have to play three games in 4 days, which to me makes zero sense, considering that the fact that it's a reason why you play 19 divisional games over the course of a regular season. You can use that as a tiebreaker over the course of the season, in which the Cubs would have won the tiebreaker over Milwaukee and move on from there instead of playing all these extra games, which to me is unnecessary. But this is how baseball wants to do it. Again, to me, creating more games, you put more emphasis on the regular season if you use the tiebreaker in terms of head-to-head versus doing it, playing all these extra games, tiebreaker. If you had the wild card, then you'll have to, even before you get to the divisional, to the divisional playoffs. But this is how baseball wants to do it. And this is how they want to do it. So you'll have, again, the Milwaukee Brewers. You'll have the Chicago Cubs hosting the loser of this game between the Dodgers and Rockies. And it looks like the Dodgers are in complete control of this particular game. Again, as always, you can find us on iTunes.apple.com. Look up Real Deal Podcast. Appreciate all the support I've been receiving from fans out there. We'll continue producing podcasts at a high level. We have a lot to talk about, to say the least. It was a busy weekend in both sports and the world of hip-hop. We'll begin with the league where no contract is guaranteed. It looked like early on during the course of the NFL day that it was going to be a day to forget. I mean, you look at some of these games, it was low scoring in the beginning. These games didn't look exciting, were not exciting. But around halftime, third quarter, the games picked up, and you end up getting a number of overtime games. To me, the game of the day was Bengals, Falcons, Cincinnati taking out Atlanta 37-36. The Falcon defense has been awful, in particular the last two games. They're giving up like 40 points a game. They're wasting a MVP caliber effort from Matt Ryan, who in the last couple of games has been fantastic. He was great again yesterday, but all for naught, as the Atlanta defense can't stop anybody. Look up, don't look now, but Cincinnati is 3-1, playing well. So they take out Atlanta 37-36. You had Tennessee get a nice victory over the Philadelphia Eagles 26-23. Give Mike Vrabel some credit for some fourth down gambles, and he took the field goal kicker off the field and decided to go for it on a fourth down. Mariota played great. Wentz wasn't bad himself. Wentz, you know, started to look like his old self, but Tennessee made a couple more plays at Tennessee. So Tennessee now, again, playing well. Eagles fall to 2-2 on the season. Still trying to find themselves. I think the Eagles will be fine once it's said and done. That's a tough loss, tough bit of a loss for the Eagles at Tennessee. Had Dallas surviving Detroit 26-24. Big day out of Ezekiel Elliott, over 200 yards from scrimmage. Dak Prescott converted a big pass play to set up a game-winning field goal to get Dallas their second win of the season. Baltimore handling Pittsburgh 26-14. The Pittsburgh defense secondary is god-awful right now. They cannot stop any down-the-field passing attack from any quarterback. And Joe Flacco just continued to continue to expose that fact. Over 300 yards passing. He outplayed Roethlisberger. Baltimore shut down Pittsburgh's running game for the most part. Completely shut it down for the most part and forced Pittsburgh to be a one-dimensional team. And again, after give Baltimore credit, Pittsburgh came back to tie the game at 14 all before halftime. But Baltimore's defense was dominant in the second half and shut Pittsburgh down. Shut Pittsburgh down. That's a nice win for Baltimore on the road in the division against their rival. And again, Pittsburgh's defense. Pittsburgh's going to have to get this defense figured out in terms of that secondary. I know they're banged up in a couple of spots, but anybody can throw down the field on Pittsburgh right now. Green Bay shuts out Buffalo 22-0. Despite the great defensive effort, there's some trouble in paradise when it comes to the Packers between McCarthy and also and Aaron Rodgers. Again, Aaron Rodgers right now seems like he's not liking the play calling. Said some things in the media, and here's what I'll say: if you're Mike McCarthy, and you know this happens in the NBA with star players, it's gotten to a point to where if you're a coach, particularly the NBA and the NFL, if you have a LeBron James, if you have a Kevin Durant, if you have an Aaron Rodgers, a Tom Brady, you have that caliber of player. Every player is not worthy of this kind of respect, but you have that caliber of player. You have to give them the respect in terms of what they see on the field. They are a special breed. They see things that 99% of the population, that the 99% of people playing sports, professional sports, just don't see. So to me, the great coach, the coaches that are going to stay around and survive this generation of players and evolve with the times are the coaches who are listening to these superstar generational type players. Now, again, I'm not talking about the Jimmy Butlers of the world. I'm not even talking about all-stars. I'm talking about these all-world generational, all-time great talents. You got to listen to these guys. Because they see what others don't see on the field, especially the quarterback. I mean, Aaron Rodgers can run an offense by himself. He doesn't need an offensive coordinator. He is the offensive coordinator on the field. That's just the reality of the situation. Aaron Rodgers, like Peyton Manning, like Tom Brady, are in total control. Drew Brees is in that same league as far as being in total control of the offense and been around long enough to completely know what they're doing. So again, if Mike McCarthy wants to stay around past this year, they just signed Aaron Rodgers. They have to make a choice between Mike McCarthy and Aaron Rodgers. They're going to choose Aaron Rodgers. It's just that simple. I know Green Bay is similar to Pittsburgh. You know, stable franchise. They don't sign a lot of free agents. They don't change a lot. Don't change as far as the coaches. But they, they realize that Aaron Rodgers does not have that many more years left playing to be the best player, not only the best quarterback in the league, but the best player in the league. Those years, who knows, 2-3 years, maybe two, at this level. Brady's extended his career. Brady could be the aberration. I mean, you're talking about a guy who, again, I'm reading this, not to get off the subject, but I'm reading this NFL book, Big Game. By Mark Leibowitz, and some of the stuff Tom Brady does to keep himself in shape. It's been well documented, but it's just remarkable. Even if you hate the Patriots, you got to give Brady credit for what he's doing to keep himself, to prolong his career and keep himself in absolute tip-top condition. But if you're Mike McCarthy, you have to listen to Aaron Rodgers. It's just that simple. There should be no conflict between the two. Privately, if I'm McCarthy, I'm meeting with Aaron Rodgers and saying, what do you like, basically? What do you see on the field? New England toys with Miami 38-7. You could kind of see this coming a mile away, an angry New England team, a Miami team that's, frankly, a little overrated, to say the least. Really not that good. Decent team, but not that good. New England at home, that's almost had to have the game. Didn't want to fall. In essence, three or four games behind Miami in the loss column, and with one game at hand in the division. So not gonna say must win, but kind of was a kind of big game for New England. They came out, played like it. Again, I never thought Miami was that good to begin with. Kind of been winning with smoke and mirrors, to say the least, and went out and New England went out there and embarrassed them, 38-7. You have New Orleans taking up the Jets, the Giants, 33-18. I thought the Giant defense actually played well for about 2.5 quarters. The Giant offense did nothing, nothing in this game. Didn't get a defensive chance, to be honest with you, because I actually thought the Giant defense played decent. The score got away from them in the fourth quarter, but for the most part, three quarters, their defense held up, but held New Orleans to I think New Orleans kicked four or five field goals. I think they kicked four field goals in the game, but got worn down. As I should not be drinking this soda, but got worn down in the second half, and New Orleans ran away. Pulled away 33-18. So there you go with the NFL. Of course, tonight you have a very good game. Kansas City, Denver. I think this game is at, I believe this game is at Denver. Check me perfectly. Yes, the game is at Denver. You're going to have Mahomes, who has broken the record for most touchdown passes in the first three games of the season, on the road against a fierce pass rush, against one of the top pass rushers in the league in Von Miller. So it should be a nice test for a guy who right now is the MVP of the league. So should be a nice game. Thursday night, the Rams, again, are on super team alert. I mean, the Rams right now, as they took out Minnesota 38-31, did whatever they wanted to offensively. Jared Goff, if not for Mahomes, could be considered an MVP candidate as well. He's played great. And consider this: remember Jared Goff's first year when people were actually doubting him as that number one pick, as that first round number one pick. And he is a long way away from that. He played great in that game. I don't know what's going on with the Minnesota defense. That defense is not the same as it was last year. There are a couple teams around the league who had quality defenses last year who are nowhere near where they were last year. Pittsburgh, Minnesota, I would add Atlanta to that list. I thought Atlanta's defense played very good. It was a top 10 defense last year. So a lot of teams have dipped defensively that played well last year. In Minnesota is near at the top of that list. That defense is bad right now. Jared Goff did whatever he wanted to. Minnesota had the Rams had over 500 yards of offense. And again, they are, as far as I'm concerned, the Rams are absolutely on super team alert as far as how they're playing. When they get their defense cranking, they're really going to be tough to deal with. And right now, without a shadow of a doubt, the best team in all of football. As far as the college goes, over the weekend, you had the two big games. Notre Dame made a big statement, big time statement with what they did to Stanford, 38-17. They broke a close game open in the second half. Now Notre Dame can basically, I'm not gonna say cruise to a possible playoff spot, but they have their they control their own fate without question. Now, this Virginia Tech game at Virginia Tech Saturday night will be a game where, if you're Notre Dame, it is the definition of a trap game. Virginia Tech is a very good team. I understand they had a tough loss a couple of weeks ago as a 29-point favorite, but to me, that is not the Virginia Tech team. That's not the Virginia Tech team that we're accustomed to seeing, and that is not the real Virginia Tech team that you saw a couple weeks ago. They got beat on the road, Blacksburg, Saturday night. That's a tough spot coming off an emotional, physical game against a good Stanford team. That is a. I would not be surprised at all if Notre Dame lost that game. Wouldn't be the least bit surprised. That's a tough spot. You're asking 18 to 21-year-old kids, young men to emotionally keep, that same level against a team that will not be perceived as nowhere near as being as good as Stanford. I don't listen. I don't think Virginia Tech. There's not a big difference between Virginia Tech and Stanford. There really is not. Now, Virginia Tech doesn't have a Heisman Trophy candidate on their team like the Stanford running back, who Notre Dame did a good jo excellent job of keeping in check. They don't have that on their team. That Virginia Tech. I watched Virginia Tech a couple times this year. Virginia Tech is a very good team. They are more than capable of beating Notre Dame, especially at night, at home, at night. It's a tough spot for Notre Dame. A tough spot for Notre Dame. So if they can get through that game, to me, it is almost clear sailing in order for them to get to possibly play for a national championship. They will be favored in every game moving forward. And again, I know they have late season matchups, Florida State and USC. Now, again, Florida State won. I don't believe in Florida State. Louisville's terrible this year, so so I don't know how much stock I put in that win for Florida State. USC just looks completely down this year. So as of right now, those two teams would be basically, walkovers as of right now for Notre Dame. Now, things could change between now and November. We all know that injuries, teams could get hot. A lot of things can change between now and then. But right now, those are not games that I would be concerned about if I'm a Notre Dame fan as of right now. But again, that could change later on in the season. But again, that was a big win for them against Stanford. Great win for Ohio State. If you're Penn State, you have to be sick as a dog. Penn State seemingly had control of that game. I thought Penn State's defense played great for the most part. I know they gave a couple of scores late in the fourth quarter, but keep in mind, you are not going to hold. If you hold Ohio State and that offense under 30 points, I think you've done your job. You're not going to hold that team to 14 points, 17, 20 points. It's just not going to happen. They have too many weapons. The quarterback is a legit player, and I think will be a pro. They have, speed at all positions. Again, fourth and five, you decide to run a zone replay when your quarterback McSorley had been just gouging Ohio State. I think he had over 40 yards of total offense by himself. He played a tremendous game. You take, for whatever reason, James Franklin, you decide to take the ball out of your best player's hand, and fourth and five, you lose yards, and that was a ball game. So it's a bad loss. A bad loss for Penn State, considering it was at home and considering that they seemingly were in control of the game. Great win for Ohio State. Ohio State does not have clear sail into a Big Ten championship, but certainly is in a nice position to get to a playoff spot. Ohio State, I feel like can afford. Maybe Ohio State can afford a loss. I don't can afford a loss and still get to the playoffs. But right now, they are in total control of the Big Ten, and again, Penn State. That's a brutal way to lose a game in front of 110,000 people with that call. I mean, you're gonna get. Listen, if you're gonna go down, you have to go down with your best player, and the quarterback. That quarterback with Saquon Barkley playing in the NFL right now, that quarterback is clearly, he is clearly their best player, as far as offensively, without question, he's offensively their best player. So tough loss for Penn State, great win for Notre Dame, Georgia, Alabama, those teams keep on rolling. Washington now becomes the team to watch out for on the West Coast with Stanford going down. So I mean, with USC not being what it was, but what it was in the past couple of years, with Stanford going down, it's you have Washington as kind of like the team to watch out in the on the West Coast. And again, still a long long way to go in college football. You can't start taking things seriously until they come out with the first playoff poll. But again, you know who the teams are as of right now. I mean, you have Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State. Ohio State, I would say right now, again, in Clemson, we don't know how serious their quarterback got knocked out. That was a tough loss for Syracuse. Syracuse easily could have won that game. The Clemson quarterback got knocked out, was knocked out, concussed. So who knows what his stats are going to look like in the next coming weeks. But again, Clemson has so much talent across the board that you can be down to your third string quarterback and still beat a feisty Syracuse team, which is definitely much improved. We know Georgia's loaded. We know what Alabama is. Alabama is Ohio State. We know Oklahoma can score 1,000 points. So we know who the top five or six teams are. Again, the team that made the major move and that controls his own destiny, that was outside of a conference, that was independent, outside of a conference, has to be Notre Dame. Notre Dame has to be the big winner this weekend as far as college football goes. They control their own destiny, and they won probably the toughest game that they're going to have remaining on their schedule. Already have wins over Stanford and Michigan. And again, the Michigan win looks better and better each week because Michigan came in. I didn't see where Michigan was ranked after today. I'm sure Michigan's close to being a top 10 team, but Michigan came into the weekend ranked in the top 14. Ranked number 14, they had a come from behind win against Wisconsin. Excuse me, against Northwestern after being down 17-0. So there you go with the football. Again, with the NFL, it looked like it was going to be one of those lackluster weeks, but you got a couple overtime games. Had some decent finishes. Had a rather couple explosions as far as passing, as far as a couple of offensive explosions. Luck, throwing 62 passes, that's not going to work out. That's not going to work out if you're Indianapolis. Deshaun Watson finally looked like Deshaun Watson in that game, in that win versus Indianapolis. That's a tough loss for Indianapolis. Luck throwing an interception that led to the game-winning field goal. But Deshaun Watson, for the first time this year, finally somewhat looked like himself. Wentz coming off the injury, even in a defeat, made some nice throws. Again, Philadelphia offensively still trying to find themselves. Again, you have the McCarthy Rodgers thing that will not go away anytime soon, as long as Green Bay offense continues to struggle. As they again, their defense was able to hold up against a bad, just awful Buffalo Bill offense, 22-0. So again, there you go with the football. I'm going to shift gears now to what was a monumental weekend in hip hop. So, do we want to deal with the album releases or the nonsense first? All right, let's get the nonsense out the way. In regards to Kanye West is a musical genius, okay? As a producer, as an MC, as an artist, he's a musical genius. What Kanye West is not, he's not a political analyst, he's not a politician, he's not Angela Rye, he's not Don Lemon, he's not, even Rush Limbaugh. Let's stop putting value into what Kanye West says. Because the only thing that happens is you give his words power. It is no secret to me or should be to anybody else that Kanye West wants to run for president in 2020. One of the reasons why he's wanting to make America great again, make America great again hat. What it is because he watched how Donald Trump became president. And he's sort of trying to take away, take, you know, trying to take away from, you know, trying to copy what, you know, the Trump, you know, the Trump, what Trump did to get to that point, to get into the White House. Now, is it, boy, is it realistic? No. But you have to understand, you just can't put value into what Kanye says. I mean, you can't put any energy into it. When I heard about what happened, because I watched the Saturday Night Live performance, I watched the entire Saturday Night Live show, which I see, for the most part was awful. I did think Matt Damon did a good job with the Kavanaugh impersonation, but outside that, the show was trash. Kanye's musical performances was fine with it. But I wasn't surprised when I woke up on Sunday morning to hear about Kanye's, Trump rant and what he said and what he was trying to say. Wasn't the least bit surprised. What I'm kind of surprised about, and maybe I shouldn't be at this point, is the reaction, the energy that people give it. Listen, if you don't want to listen to Kanye's music based on his political views, that's your business. But what I'm asking you is, you shouldn't be taking what Kanye West says seriously. Because I don't know where Kanye is at mentally. It doesn't really matter. You could be mentally there and just not know what the hell you're talking about. Again, Kanye West, I don't care about what Kanye West thinks about anything outside of music. Let me just be honest with you. And he has a right to his opinion on any subject or any walk of life. I'm only going to pay attention to what he says about music. Anything else is going to go one ear in one ear out the other, as far as I'm concerned. So what he says about slavery and Trump and this and that, I could care less about. Because again, what he is saying is not well thought out, is not well researched. He went, he tried to backtrack what he said about abolishing slavery to saying he meant to say he wanted to amend slavery. Dude, I need you to know the difference between the word abolish and amend. And that goes, what that tells you is he's not doing the research. It takes what, 5 seconds, 10, it takes 15 seconds, 10 seconds to Google the words research. Excuse me, Google the word abolish or Google the word amend so you know what, so you know the words that are coming, what the words coming out your mouth mean. Doesn't take that long to Google those words. You don't even need to own a dictionary. Get on the phone, Google, see what the word means. Look up in the internet dictionary, online dictionary, which they do, which they have. But this is who he is. This is what these thoughts that he's, are not, it's just talk. They are not well conceived at all. And again, you have to understand who you are dealing with at this point. So, again, I only take Kanye's musical opinions serious. That's the only opinions of Kanye West I take serious. I don't take anything he says about sports, about politics, about, I don't know, movies. If it's not about music, I don't, I can't, I don't, I'm not gonna put any energy into it. As far as the albums coming out, I heard of Kanye, heard all three albums, Kanye, Lil Wayne, and Logic. Kanye's gonna be third. If I was ranking the albums that came out, I would rank Kanye's third. And I like Kanye, I like this album better. The second Kanye album better than the first one that came out earlier this year. I really like the Wayne and Logic albums. Those two albums I strongly recommend. Even though the Wayne album is 23 tracks, it like you could skip two or three tracks, which is good, which is great considering that it has 23 tracks. There are two or three tracks that you could probably move past. But for the most part, I thought the features were well you were you were utilized the right way. He has Kendrick, Nicki, he has a number of people on the album. I was fine with the album, listened to it a couple times over the course of the weekend. The Logic album is great. The Logic album is great. A lot of, a lot of quality beats on it. Just gives you a story of who he is. I liked how he ended the album with the what was the called roll call, which is about 10 minutes, 10 minutes, and almost 11 minutes long. Just giving you his entire story in one song. So strong weekend for hip hop. And even with Kanye's album, again, the first this album is closer to who he was as an MC than the first than the album that came back in June. And I was fine with the album that came out in June. I was, I thought the production was stronger than what he said, than his lyrical content. This one, the lyrical content came closer to the production level versus the first album. So strong, great weekend for hip hop. Great year for hip hop in general. I mean, how many, think about all the artists who came out this year. You've had what, Nas, Drake, Kanye, Nipsey Hussle. I mean, think about how many artists from the old and new genres have come out this year. It's, it's gonna go down as one of, it's going to go down as a sentimental year for the world of hip hop. It really is. Once we look back on it, come December. Right now, still, even as we stand here on October 1st, still in the moment, so to speak. Waiting for albums to come out. Cardi B. Cardi B, Nicki Minaj coming out. I remember early in the year, there were some albums that we even forgot about that came out. February, January, February. So this is a big year for hip hop, without question. If you look at the charts, look at the streams, the sales. Hip hop dominates the charts. There's no two ways about it. You can love it and hate it. It is dominating the Billboard charts. Is dominating these top 100, top 200. So it's been a major year for it's been a major year for hip hop, to say the least. Dodgers about to close out Colorado. Trying to wait, trying to see what the score is right now. Five nothing top of the eighth inning. Five nothing top of the eighth, two outs. So Dodgers are about just 3 outs away. Excuse me, 4 outs away from clinching the NL West outright, and having Colorado travel to Chicago for a wild card winner take all game tomorrow. Overall, you look at the baseball playoffs again. I wouldn't be surprised if any team, maybe with the exception of Colorado, because I'm not high on Colorado, never have been, but any of those teams, whether it's Chicago, the Dodgers, Milwaukee, any one of those three teams comes out and gets to the World Series, I wouldn't be surprised at all. The power still remains in the American League. The four best teams in baseball are in the American League, with Houston, Boston, Cleveland, and New York. Of course, everybody, baseball wants a Yankee, Boston. They're going to get, of course, Houston, Cleveland, which will be a great series. But everybody wants that Final Four. Those power four in terms of Yankees, Boston, Cleveland, Houston. I still think Houston is the team to beat, not only in the American League and all of baseball. I still think they have the best balance of starting pitching, and that lineup is just ridiculous. But it is going to be a war zone in the American League. It's going to be a minefield. You have a, I'm not. Again, I think the Yankees are a year away in regards to their pitching. This is where I think the Yankees are going to get exposed for all those home runs. I know they set the major league record for most home runs in the season. Great pitching will find those holes in power hitters. So those home runs, you can beat up on mediocre pitching over a course of the regular season, over a course of 162 games. The majority of the the majority of the pitching that you're going against is average to mediocre. Only very few teams have top-notch starting pitching. So when you get to the postseason, that gets exposed, especially for a team that is so dependent on the home run. And the Yankees, to me, I don't think the Yankees can get to a World Series. I just think they're too dependent on the home run. Cleveland, Boston, we're still here. As we try and get our YouTube feed right, and we should be, we're back. So we're back here, Real Deal Podcast. Cleveland, Boston, Houston, have the type of offenses that are a little bit more versatile than what the Yankees are. Yankees are basically solely dependent on the home run. They're far too dependent on the home run. Houston and Cleveland have the best starting pitching. I think the Yankees starting pitch is a little bit better than Boston starting pitch is a smidge better than Yankees. But overall, I think Houston's still the team to beat in all of baseball right now. And I think, it's hard to repeat in baseball, but right now, if I think you had an odds on favorite, it still had to be the Houston Astros. That lineup, that starting pitching, again, the bullpen can be shaky. Let's be honest, the bullpen can be shaky. But I feel better about their bullpen this year than I did last year. So it should be an exciting postseason. Looking forward to certainly looking forward to it as we enter October. Again, if you're a sports fan, there's no busier time over the course of the sports calendar is right now. You have all, when the NBA tips off October 16th, you will have all four major sports going on at the same time. So you'll have the baseball playoffs. You'll have this hockey season, which kicks off Wednesday. You'll have the NFL in the second quarter of the season. College football will have some of their major games in October. And of course the baseball playoffs. So everything going on, it'll be very busy. It'll be a very busy time in the world of sports. Even busier than when, from April to June, when you have baseball getting started, NBA, NHL playoffs, and a host of other events like the Kentucky Derby and some of the golf majors. And speaking of golf. I told you the United States will be favored as they were, but the Europeans seemingly find a way to win the World Cup, not the World Cup, the Ryder Cup, and that's exactly what happened. And it turns out it wasn't even close. And now you're reading reports from the New York Times. You got guys like Patrick Reed complaining about the pairings, knocking Jim Furyk. Listen, take your ass whipping and keep it moving. Europeans kicked America's ass. So we just can't accept a defeat. We have to point fingers as Americans. It's not our fault. You got to point fingers at the pairing. They got to point fingers at the captain. You got to point fingers at this, that, and the third. No, take your ass whipping and keep it moving. You got your asses kicked. It's just that simple. And you had Tiger Woods was like, look, I could have played better. That's it. There's no way else to it. I don't want to hear about the pairings. It's a golf course. It's not the first time Patrick Reed has played in a Ryder Cup. A Jordan Spieth. I mean, give me a break. Again, I can't explain why Europe dominates the United States. Ryder Cup in and Ryder Cup out. Remember, the United States has not won on European soil since 1993. It's a long time. But again, I don't need to hear about Americans complaining about the pairings. That's just not an excuse on why you got your asses kicked. And it was a absolute beatdown. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. I will You will hear from me later on this week. As always, this is the Real Deal Podcast, telling it like it is with no apologies. Thanks for listening.